So I'm going to be honest. I feel like after watching Grace and Dr. Logan play the organ together, that we don't need a sermon. That was a beautiful picture of discipleship. And I'm excited. We have these things that we say in conversation. It's about being polite. And we say them without thinking. You know the things that I'm talking about where people say, "How are you?" And regardless of how you are, you know the correct answer. You say, "Fine. I'm doing well. Everything's great." I mean, acceptable answers are, "I'm tired." But outside of that, there are other things that we do that with also, aren't there? I was returned from Thanksgiving break. Everyone was asking me, "How was your Thanksgiving?" And I have a confession to make. I was getting groceries and the gentleman rang me up, asked me how my Thanksgiving was, and I looked him in the eyes and I lied to him. I told him a lie. I told him it was great, and it wasn't. And it wasn't because the food wasn't good. The food is amazing. It wasn't because the company wasn't good. My wife's family, they're wonderful. It was because of what happened the day before Thanksgiving. You see, we had decided it would be fun to go ice skating together. You would think I would have learned by now not to go ice skating with people. The last time my family went ice skating with some other people, it was with Dwight Nelson. And that didn't go well either. But this time, it was my mother-in-law. And as she was skating, everything was going. Now, there were signs that we shouldn't have done this. Like when we arrived at the ice skating and she asked someone how often they have to call the ambulance. We should have known. But she fell and she broke her arm just at the top so that you couldn't even put a cast on it. And she spent Thanksgiving Day in the hospital. And came home the day after. It wasn't what we planned. We all have these things in our lives that don't go as they're planned. They're disruptors where we have everything worked out, we have a schedule, we have an agenda, we have a plan, and then something happens and it doesn't go the way it's supposed to. In a book called Life is in the Transitions by Bruce Feiler, he makes the point that these disruptions happen every 12 to 18 months in our lives. And they're not always bad. Often they are. But I mean, for instance, Grace and Dr. Logan playing the organ together, that was a disruption. It wasn't part of the plan. But a week ago Friday, the third graders came over from Ruth Murdoch to do some service here at Pioneer, and they wanted to clean the church. And they did a phenomenal job. You probably didn't even notice last week, and that's your fault. But they did a great job. They cleaned the church, and then afterwards, Dr. Logan said, "Well, since you're here, why don't I show you kids the organ?" And if you have never seen him show children the organ, you're missing out. It was amazing. He got them all excited about the organ, and then he let a few of them play. And as some of them were playing, and Grace especially, he joined her. And so then he told me about it on Sunday and said, "Oh man, it was really good. We should do a duet sometime." I said, "How about this Sabbath?" He was not completely sold yet, but that was a disruption. And this is also apparently. But some disruptions are so big that when they hit your life, all of a sudden, your life is headed in a different direction. You know the things that I'm talking about. A diagnosis. A divorce. A loss of someone you love. These things, when they hit you, it's not merely a disruption, but Bruce Feller refers to them as life quakes. Things so big that your previous plan, it's gone. And you have to come up with a new plan. I imagine for Joseph and Mary, when the angel came to them and told them, hey, you're going to have a baby. That must have been a life quake. Because let's be honest, they had a plan. They were engaged. They were going to get married. They probably had a plan for when they were going to have children and how many. And all of a sudden, God intervenes and changes their plans. It must have been a life quake. We've had some in this church as well, haven't we? I want to call Jack Fenner to come join me up here. I don't know if you remember, but about a year ago, I told you about Jack. He had just gotten a diagnosis, and we talked about praying for him. So Jack, tell me about the time you were turning 11. What was going on in your life?
So around the time I was turning 11, I was in a lot of pain. I was really tired all the time, a lot of fatigue. I wasn't eating my food. Yeah, that's...
And then the day after your 11th birthday, something happened. What happened?
Well, we went to Helen DeVos Hospital and figured out that they told me that I had a sarcoma called Ewing's sarcoma, which is a kind of bone cancer.
Bone cancer, that's not a very good birthday present.
Oh, yeah.
How did it feel to get that news?
I was pretty scared. A lot of denial.
And what did they say the treatment was going to be? What was the survival rate?
30%. The treatment was a lot of different things. Radiation, chemo, surgery.
It was a lot for an 11-year-old to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do next?
After that, well, we did an anointing. So Pastor Ben came over and a lot of friends and family came over. And they all prayed around me. And Pastor Ben anointed me. And the next day I woke up and I didn't have any pain.
Well, that's one miracle.
Yeah.
But let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after that?
After that, the day after that, we went to Mayo Clinic, which is pretty much a giant hospital. and they told me, well, we did a biopsy, and they told me that I had Langerhans histiocytosis, which is a blood cancer.
Is that better?
It's a lot better. It's much more treatable.
Okay. And then what happened?
Well, after that, we went back to Mayo, and they told me to get a second opinion. And we went to Cincinnati Children's Hospital for a second opinion, and they told me that I could do a kind of gene inhibitor, which is just a once-daily pill.
So with the first diagnosis, which, by the way, it wasn't just one doctor who told you.
Five doctors.
All agreed. And then we had the anointing, and all of a sudden the diagnosis completely changed. And instead of having to go through chemo, radiation, surgery, and possibly a titanium hip, you're taking a pill a day.
Yeah.
God is good, isn't he? But and you had something you wanted to share as well.
Yes, I wanted to thank my Pioneer Church family for praying for me and helping me through this tough time. I couldn't have asked for a better congregation to pray for me.
Thank you. It was tough knowing when to share this because he's still on the journey. It's not over yet. There might be more twists and turns, but we have seen God show up, haven't we? And this is the thing. These life quakes, they take 3 to 5 years to fully work through. They're not just quick little bumps in the road. They're things that you have to rediscover who you are and what you're called to do afterwards. And I've got a feeling that Jack isn't the only one in this church who's in the midst of a life quake. As I look around, there are others of you who your plan, there are others of you who somehow the plan has been completely derailed. Things didn't go the way they were supposed to. But I love the promise in Hebrews 11 that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And when your life is going off script, when things aren't going the way you planned, when you find yourself in the middle of a life quake, I invite you, hand the pen over to Jesus. Let him write the next chapters. Let him discover for you the story he's had all along. Because sometimes a life quake is the very thing we need to get back on track. We're all familiar that sometimes life goes off script. But sometimes those disruptions, those life quakes are so big, they don't just affect your life. Sometimes they affect a community. And sometimes they're so big that the entire course of human history is changed. I think of things like the invention of the atomic bomb. Humanity will never be the same because of that. I think of 9/11, COVID-19. All of these things change the course of human history. We could list many more, but none of them have had as profound a change on human history as the birth of Jesus. Even heaven recognized this was something extraordinary. The fact that the God of the universe would be born as a human baby, heaven was excited. Heaven was so excited, in fact, they could not contain it. And they looked for someone to share that excitement with, because let's be honest, when you're excited, you want to share that excitement with someone, but you want someone who will get the excitement. A couple months ago, I was over at Neighbor to Neighbor, and I was looking through the books, and there was one that caught my eye. It was a very old copy of Christ's Object Lessons, and as I was looking at it, I got out my phone, and I did a little bit of research, and I realized this was a first edition. I was excited. But let's be honest, finding someone else excited about an old copy of Christ's Object Lessons, that was going to have to be a special person. So I called up my good friend Kevin Burton, and I don't know if he was genuinely excited or just really good at making me feel it. But when you're excited about something, you want to find someone to share that excitement with. And so Ellen White in Desire of Ages tells us that the angels first went to the temple looking for people to share their excitement with, and no one was paying attention. Started going through Jerusalem looking for people who were excited. There was nothing to be found. And then, on the same hills outside of Bethlehem where David once watched sheep were some shepherds. And these shepherds were also excited. I can only imagine what it must have been like that night as these angels could not contain their excitement any longer, and heaven explodes onto the scene, proclaiming their excitement, their joy. Because this was no small thing. Humanity had severed the ties with God by sinning. They had separated ourselves from God. They had abandoned God. And now God was mending that relationship. God was tying the fate of humanity to divinity, never to be separated again. There's nothing else like it in the universe's history. The very God of the universe chose to be one of us. That was a disruption like we've never seen before. 20 years ago, I was part of a friend's wedding in Chicago. And after the wedding, we decided we were going to explore downtown a little bit. And so we went out and we were exploring, we were having a good time. And it was starting to get late, and we realized we needed to get back on the train to go to Hinsdale, to the house we were staying at. And so we got on the train, and I started noticing that the stops and the map weren't adding up. We realized we were on the right train, but going the wrong way. So we got off the train, tried to get on one going the correct direction, and that's when we discovered that was the last train of the night. And there weren't any more trains to be had. And here we were in a part of Chicago that you didn't want to spend your evening in. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't very well call my friend on his wedding night. I'd been given one other person's number, a guy I did not know. He was a pastor in that conference. He had a full head of hair at that time. So I called up Jose Borges. And that's how we met. Him rescuing me at an hour of the night where trains no longer ran. But how many of us find ourselves headed in a direction that we don't want to be headed? Even those of us who come to church each week, we're going through the motions, but let's be honest. Things aren't headed the way they should be. If we stop and we look at the trajectory, if we look how things are going, we're going in the wrong direction and we know it. And we try to change it over and over and over again, but we find ourselves slipping back into the familiar ruts that sent us off in that direction in the first place. Who do we call? I love that Gabriel, when he was talking to Mary and Joseph, he said, "You should call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't have to do this alone. The same Jesus who spoke things into existence has the power to make changes in our lives that we cannot make for ourselves. The same Jesus who can speak to the storms has the ability to handle things in your life that you cannot handle yourself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The ultimate Christmas gift is Jesus. Jesus is the gift. Salvation isn't even the gift. That's the result of the gift. Jesus is the gift. I don't know who here is finding their life headed in a direction that they're not pleased with. They've tried to make the changes over and over again, and somehow they find themselves back in the same place. We need to stop living in a pre-Christmas world. We need to stop living in a world where we have to try to handle our own things because we can't. It's time we accept the gift Jesus has been longing to give us himself. It's time that we let him do a new thing in us. So this year, as we approach the holiday seasons, as we finish off 2024, I challenge you, accept Jesus into your life. And maybe you've done it before, but let's be honest. We have this tendency to accept him, and then gradually we find ourselves back in the same rut we were in before. Accept him again. Let him handle the things you're not able to. Let him take care of the things you cannot manage. God with us. We do not have to do it alone. The book of Matthew starts by telling us Emmanuel, God with us, and it finishes with the Great Commission. He will be with us to the very end of the age. God is with us. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I want to especially thank Ada for directing our adventures, our musical directors from Ruth Murdoch, Elsie Guiardo Diaz, and Daniel Cerna, and also Shari Lyons, who did a phenomenal job in first service. And thank you, Jonathan Burt, for being our adventure director. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, God, as we think of all the gifts we want this year, you long to give us what we truly need, your Son. So, dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, I pray that you will make this our prayer. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Amen.